Good morning, Westside. Good morning. Good to see you. My name is Norm, one of the pastors here. Thank you for just kind of squeezing yourself into this room, dealing with parking, coming on downtown. If you are a guest with us, we're just here for 3 weeks. This is the second of 3 weeks. On the 23rd, not next week, but the following week, we are back at the refurbished Granville Island stage. But again, during these 3 weeks, thank you for being here. It is good to be here. And we are in the midst of a three-week series that we're taking advantage of as far as this block of time, walking through the topic of spiritual gifts. Last week was a flyover, if you were here, of the topic, kind of dealing with the who's and the what's and the why's and the how's and all of that. And then what I said last week was we would double back and we would spend today talking specifically about the why of spiritual gifts, which I consider the most important question. Far more important than the what and the how is the why. So we're going to do that today. Then next week, as we finish off this series, we'll discuss the what. What are the gifts? How do I discover my gift or gifts? And how do I grow in it? How do I fan it into flame, to use a phrase that Paul uses in instruction to Timothy, fan into flame your gift. So how do we fan into flame? So that's next week. If you weren't here last week, I encourage you, download the message, listen to it, so you can kind of put all 3 weeks together. All right? That would be awesome. Take your Bibles or your Bible apps. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to look at some things out of 1 Corinthians 12 by way of reminder, using it as a way of reminder of last week. And then what we're going to do is we're going to launch into this week, and our home base text for this week will be Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. But I want to begin in 1 Corinthians 12, by way of reminding us what we looked at last week. I'll give you six reminders from chapter 12. Here's the first. God wants us to know about our spiritual gifts. If you look at verse 1, which is the verse that we're using for the title, right, to springboard our title out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writes there, "Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers," inclusive language here, "sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." So, number one, really important, God is pleased that we're walking through this particular topic. It's good for us. God doesn't want us to be uninformed, ignorant about the topic of spiritual gifts. And as I suggested to you last week, it's important to remember that Paul is writing to a church in Corinth that manifested and was manifesting the gifts, yet they were still uninformed and ignorant of them, which suggests to us that just because you are either an individual or a part of a church that is manifesting the gifts, you can still be uninformed about many things. Particular, I would argue, the topic today, the why of them. So just because you have the what showing up doesn't mean that you are totally informed, nor am I. So we want to be informed about it, so God is pleased that we're doing this. That's the first reminder. The second is this: different Christians have different spiritual gifts given to them by the Holy Spirit. If you look at verse 4, Paul writes there, "Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit." And as I said last week, there are not only varieties of gifts, but there are varieties of gifts that get fleshed out in different ministries and have different effects, meaning size of fruit. We talked about the 100-fold fruit, the 60-fold fruit, 30-fold fruit. We talked about those who are given 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. Same gifts, though. And I think part of the difficulty when it comes to this topic, as I stated last week, was a lot of times I think we talk about gifts and what we're really talking about are ministries. But I don't really care whether you do either. And the reason why I say that is there are those individuals that really want to get a list of the gifts from the scriptures, which I don't think is entirely bad, but that's their category. That's their categories of listings. And if you add something to that, they get very fired up about that. Or there are those individuals that want to just have abundance of numbers of list giftings, and they go on and on and on. And I would suggest that perhaps you're talking about ministries and not gifts themselves. I gave the illustration last week that you may have the gift of evangelism, but you call your evangelism gift hospitality because you like inviting people over to your house so you can share Jesus with them. And so you have lasagna Friday nights, right? Remember last week. So you go, I'm very hospitable. No, you may be an evangelist. You just think this is a great ministry, food. And who would disagree with that? Right? So that, and you just like telling your neighbors about Jesus. So you invite them in, you entice them, right, with food. And you go, man, I just really like to have people over my house. No, you really like to tell people about Jesus. You just happen to use this. So I think that's part of the discussion sometimes confuses us. We'll hit that more next week. But that's the second reminder. The third reminder is the aim of all gifts is for the common good of the body of Christ. If you take a look at verse 7, Paul writes there, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Again, really, really important. I want us to get this because I think a lot of times we think very individualistic as it pertains to the gifts. And yes, we want to know about our individual gift. But if, again, we don't get that one of the reasons why the gifts are given is for the common good, I think we're going to be uninformed about them. We're going to be somewhat ignorant in how they are manifested. Here's the fourth reminder out of verse 11. The Spirit of God is sovereign over to whom he gives gifts. In verse 11, very, very apparent to us there, we read, all these, speaking of the gifts, are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Fifth reminder coming out of this chapter, if a spiritual gift is not used, it's like the human body not hearing. For example, that's just one example. Verse 17, we read there, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? So you or I, being gifted and being called into a body, choosing not to use our gift, means that in part, this body doesn't function as good as it should. It functions like a body that can't hear, see, or smell, and so forth. Therefore, tied into this, last reminder, therefore we need to recognize our need for one another and give ourselves to the spiritual gifts that God gives us through others. Let me say that again. We need to recognize our need for one another. Now, some of you need to be convinced of that. We need to recognize our need for one another. Some of us need to be convinced of this because you're good looking, you're ripped, you're rich, you have friends, a car that's almost paid off, and you feel, I don't need anything. I don't need anything. I am the body. Look at me. Right? First warm day of the year, you're the guy that takes his shirt off and walks down the sidewalk. I'm like, why is that guy wearing no shirt in March? So you're that guy. So some of us need to be convinced that we need one another. Because oftentimes within the context of the body, we feel like I don't need anybody. If I got my Bible and I've got the Holy Spirit and I've got a beach, I don't need the church. Right? I'm part of the global body of Christ. I don't need anybody. And like I said last week, I would strongly, strongly disagree. We do need one another, and we need to recognize the gifts that God has for us and has for us in and through the lives of other people. Because none of us are gifted with all the gifts. None of us are all the body parts, to use the analogy of 1 Corinthians 12. Therefore, we need one another. We do. We need one another. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 21, the last point of review. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. But we oftentimes say that. It's said all the time by our practice. I just don't need anybody. And Paul says, God has things for you that he has for you through the giftings of other people. We need one another. So that is our review from last week. Now I want you to hang a left and go back to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. When we get back to the stage on the 23rd of September, we're starting a 17-year series on the book of Romans. It's going to be fantastic. I'm going to retire when we get to about chapter 11 and then push on. Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12 is home base. Going to make some comments. And then what I'm going to do after we finish this short little text that has much in it, I'm just going to take you to 1 Peter 4 and remind you of some things in connection with this question, why? Why the gifts? It's going to seem somewhat redundant, but we need to be redundant for a reason, because we need to be reminded of some things. So we'll do that at the back end. All right. Paul writes this in Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is a really important phrase. You like underlining things, highlighting things. Those two words, that is, underline them, highlight them, if you like to do that, unless you're borrowing one of our Bibles. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Here's the first thing in this question of why the gifts that we see. The first is rather obvious. You can see it in verse 11. Spiritual gifts are given for the strengthening of others. Spiritual gifts are given for the strengthening of others. Now, that doesn't mean that you, as an individual, using your gifts won't be blessed and encouraged and have great joy in the using of them, that somehow you're going to miss out on something. We're going to see just the opposite in a couple moments. But that's the first thing that does stand out. Gifts are given to be given. You are gifted to gift. You are given a gift to give another. And what we see here, one of the things that you are to give is strength to others. We aren't to hoard. We aren't to bury. We're not to ignore our gift. In fact, Jesus himself speaks really strongly into the individual who does. In Matthew 25, if you want to go to Matthew 25, Jesus there, he shares a parable where the discussion is about talents that are given. Talents really connected to monetary aspect of life at that particular time. Talents referred to monetary items, money received. But here, the term talent, I believe, is used to encompass all sorts of things. Certainly financial gifts, but spiritual gifts and resources and time and ability and all of that. And what Jesus does in the parable of the talents is he talks about a master, a ruler, giving five talents to one individual, a couple of talents to another, and one talent to a third, and then he goes away. And the person who has five, he does good work and he gains five more. And the person who does good work with the two gains a couple of more. But the one who receives just the one talent, he buries it. And the master, the ruler, comes back. And this is what he says when he finds out that the individual who has the one talent buried it. In verse 29 and 30 of Matthew 25, Jesus ends this parable by saying, "For to everyone who has, will more be given. And he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." And then verse 30, from the mouth of Jesus, "Cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." To which I think a good question is, Jesus, why are you being so harsh? Like, what is it that leads you to conclude this parable like this? What is so horrific about burying our one talent that you start using judgment, hell language? Like, what is it? Like, why? What do I need to know? What am I not getting if I don't have the same appreciation as you do? Well, we're going to try to answer that in a few moments, but just chew on that. Why is Jesus so harsh when it comes to the individual who buries the one talent? Well, like I said, we'll come back to that. By the way, as an aside, and I'm going to give you three by the ways today. In this parable of the talents in Matthew 25, I don't think it's coincidental that the one who buries the gift from their master is the one who had been given only one talent. I think that's common. I think that's common in the church. I think it's common in the church because all too often in the church, the one who has the one talent thinks that they're not worthwhile, don't really bring anything to the game. They compare themselves perhaps to the person who's been given five. Goes, man, I'm not as gifted as she is. And oftentimes in the church, right, the one who's been gifted with five, she thinks she's all that. And makes it harder even on the one, right? We've all met that person, right? The one who's just waiting for a vacancy in the Trinity. That one who just thinks that they're right there waiting for an opportunity. So, I mean, that happens. So the one just buries, doesn't get involved, doesn't do anything because they just think they're bringing nothing. So I don't think it's coincidental that it's the one that buries. We are talking about this as a staff and amongst some of the elders this week. And we believe Westside is full of one talent individuals that have buried them and are so needed here. And it's sad to consider that because I still don't think we're functioning as a body as we can. And I just implore you, I implore all of us who are one talent individuals, don't bury them. Understand the need that we need to be as one talent individuals for the sake of this body and more so for the sake of making Jesus known in the city. So Jesus shares this again and he ends harsh and we'll come back to why I think he ends harsh in a few moments. But that's the first thing. So back to our text in Romans 1. What we've seen so far is that gifts are given for the strengthening of others. Now, here's the question that I think is a good one to ask. What does it mean to strengthen another? Like, what is Paul wanting to strengthen? Is he wanting to strengthen them physically? Well, I think we can conclude no. So what is he wanting to strengthen? Well, I believe what Paul is referring to here is he's wanting to strengthen the faith of the believers in Rome. He wants to strengthen their faith, and I say that because of what we read in another text in 1 Thessalonians. Paul is writing to the Thessalonian church. You can put it up on the screen if you don't mind. He writes there, and I need to read it over here. He writes there, "We sent Timothy, our brother, and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ to establish." That word establish, same word as strengthen as it's used in Romans 1. Paul is saying, "We sent Timothy to you to establish you, to strengthen you," in the same way that Paul is saying in Romans 1, "I want to come see you to strengthen you." So Paul says, "We've sent Timothy to do what I want to do with you, Rome." And what does he want to establish them in? Well, you see the rest of the verse, "establish and exhort you in your faith." So what does Paul want to strengthen in the Romans? He wants to strengthen their faith. To strengthen someone else by the use of your spiritual gift means to help their faith not give way easily when hard times, difficult times, testing times, trials come. As the people of Rome were going through. To use our gift in that way where we go, we know you're going through a hard time. We want to help you. We want to establish you. We want to strengthen you. And I want to do that through the use of my gift. I want to establish you in that. So that's the second thing I think we can certainly need to understand about the use of the gifts is that gifts are given to strengthen us, but specifically gifts are given to strengthen other people's faith. We have been given gifts, spiritual gifts, in order to help people keep the faith, maintain steadfastness and perseverance in hard times. Let me get real practical. Let's try to put some application, some hands and feet on this. Is there anybody in your life that you know, that quickly jumps to mind, that you know is going through a hard time? Maybe their marriage is on the rocks. Maybe their kids are wayward. Maybe they've lost their job. Maybe their health is bad. Maybe they're lonely. And you know in your heart of hearts, when their face comes up in your mind, I have a feeling that what they're going through is really being a challenge to them in their faith. Where they may be really struggling and they may be just on the rocks and they're about to give up. And you go, what can I do? What can I do to help that person? What can I do to help them remain and persevere and continue on? By the way, this is the importance of community groups in the life of this ministry. I'm convinced that the best opportunity, the most effective opportunity that we have in this ministry to manifest our gifts, to use our gifts, doesn't happen here on a Sunday. It happens in our community groups when those 44 groups throughout the week get together in their groups of 10 or 20, and they come together and just get to know one another. And they have individuals that know them. So when something's going on in your life, you have an individual or maybe more that can come alongside of you and go, we need to help you. We need to strengthen you. We need to do something that would encourage you. We can't do this alone. We can't walk through this alone. And if you go, you know what, there's not a community group that works for me, I'm always out of town. You need to have some people in your life that can encourage you, because trials and tests and tribulations come along. In this as well, we may also get a sense, and I touched upon this last week, I will hit it hard next week. We may get a sense where we lean in terms of the categories of giftings. We may get a sense of where we lean towards in regards to those categories. Meaning, if there are two categories of giftings, speaking or teaching giftings or service giftings. So when you consider someone who's going through a difficult time and you consider, boy, how can I help them? What you may get a sense of is you may be a doer, a service person. Or you may be a teaching person, a speaking person. So you hear about somebody who's going through a hard time and you think, man, you know what? I need to go over to their house and I need to babysit for them because they need some time away. I need to make them a tuna casserole because they just need somebody to come alongside of them to feed them. You know, I've been given some cash, so I'm going to give them $500 so they can go away for the weekend because they just need time that way. Or you may be the individual that says, boy, they're going through a tough time. I need to go and meet with them and pray with them. I need to pass them on a book that was so helpful to me. I need to send them an email that has a link of a message that I just listened to that was so helpful to me. I need to sit down. I need to go through some of the Psalms that have been really helpful to me when I go through difficulty. That may be you. You may be that individual. And both are needed, right? Both are needed. I mean, because what is lasagna by itself or tuna casserole by itself if we don't remind people about the goodness and faithfulness of God? But what is goodness and faithfulness of God reminders? What good is that if a person hasn't slept for 2 days and hasn't eaten for three because their kids suck and they're broken up, right? Kids do suck at times. We love them, but they can suck at times. So we need to come alongside and help. But both are needed. Both are needed. Both tribes, both groups, speaking and service. The problem, here's the problem. Speaking gifts, service gifts can also begin thinking that they're most important. Right? You get the service gift people that go, speaking gift people, man, they do no practical good. They do no good. And speaking gift people go, service gift people, they do no eternal good. And they just scrap. What both tribes need to do is come to a point, go, we need each other. We work together. People listen to truths about God's word when their bellies are full. Right? And you say you have faith, but someone comes to your door, knocks on it, and you don't give them a cloak when they need a cloak, feed them when they need to be fed, and you just say, hey, be warm and well fed. What good is that? So we need each other. And you're starting to get a sense, especially for those of you who go, I'm not really sure where I'm gifted. You get a sense of where you're at. And again, I'll say it for the third time. We need each other. And that's how the body functions, at least in part. So that's what we've seen thus far. A second, by the way, in this, I said I was going to give you three by the ways. I think it's fair to say from this text that we shouldn't worry too much about trying to label our gift before we use it. That is, don't worry about whether you can say, hey, I have the gift of prophecy or teaching or evangelism or administration or mercy or miracles or healing and before you use it. Because that's not the prominent theme of this text. What we see here is that if someone's faith is in jeopardy, we need to ask, how can I help that person? Then do or say what seems most helpful. And if the person is helped, then you may have discovered your gift. We must not get hung up on naming our gifts. The thing to truly get hung up on is, am I doing what I can to strengthen the faith of the people around me? That's what we really need to get hung up on. See, I don't believe that the problem of not knowing our spiritual gifts is the key issue. More fundamental in the church today is the problem of not desiring very much to strengthen other people's faith. That's the problem. I don't think the reason why people don't serve and give themselves to the extension of God's kingdom is any more significant than that one. I just think the church is full of people that really don't care about strengthening other people's faith. I say that sadly, but I think that's true. Because if you truly have that as a motivation, that will spur you on. More so than somebody up here going, we really need help with and filling in the service area. That's why I say to people, as you fall in love with Jesus, you will serve more and give more and share more and celebrate better and party better and all of that. It all flows out of that. But to try to just make you give more and serve more and party better without you falling in love with Jesus, right? That's bass acrids. Okay. If you laugh at that, you're new. You're new. I've said that a lot. So welcome if you laugh at that. Welcome here. It's a dangerous word. So the call in this for us is to become the kind of person who seeks to strengthen people's faith. Because that's why the gifts, at least in part. So that's verse 11. That's just one verse. But what Paul does, he does something unusual in verse 12. And I think for a reason, because I think he tries to teach us something, and I hope I can do a good job teaching and unpacking it. Because what Paul does when you go from verse 11 to verse 12 is he basically restates in verse 12 what he's already said in verse 11 simply by using words that are kind of interchangeable. Let me show you what I mean, and then I'll try to, and I just want you to stay with me. I'm going to work really hard to help us get this, because I think when we get this, we're going to break out into the hallelujah chorus. It's going to be one of those, okay? You're going to stand up, and it's going to be fantastic, and you're going to start singing, and it's going to be great. So in verse 12, this is what Paul says out of verse 11. He says, I want to strengthen you with my spiritual gift. Verse 12, that is, remember I said that phrase is really important? That is, meaning in verse 12, what he's going to do now is define verse 11. That is that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. See, he restates verse 11 and he adds that he too, and not just they, is going to be helped when they meet, and it will be his joy and pleasure as well. But here's the thing, verse 12, after the phrase, that is, doesn't quite make sense if you don't see how the words are being used interchangeably. Let me help you with this. But before I give you a help, let me give you a third reason why we need the gifts of the Spirit, because this will begin the help for us. We have been given spiritual gifts, coming out of verse 12, to be encouraged by each other's faith. In verse 11, Paul strengthens faith by a spiritual gift. Now in verse 12, he encourages and will be encouraged by his faith. But here's the beautiful nuance of this. What is it, Paul? Am I going to be encouraged and strengthened by the imparting of your gift, or am I going to be encouraged and strengthened by your faith? Which is it, Paul? His answer, both. His answer really is they're synonymous, they're interchangeable. That my faith, which is going to encourage you, is an expression or expressed in my gift. That my faith is expressed in the gift that I want to share with you. To put it a different way, a spiritual gift is an ability given by the Holy Spirit to express our faith effectively. It's the outpouring of our faith in word or deed for the strengthening and the encouraging of someone else's faith. Now, why is this so important? Why am I slowing down here? I'm slowing down here because you say you have faith. I say I have faith. Our right response should be to the person who says that is, how are you expressing it? How are you showing it? in the same way that we are called to ask of our Father, even though He knows before we even ask what we need, but we are to ask as an expression of our faith, so too with the use of our gifts. We are to express our faith, which will strengthen another and encourage them as it's expressed in the use of our gifts. That's why the gifts. It expresses to the world around us that we have faith in the God who gives them to us. Which answers the question why Jesus was so harsh with the one that buried his talent. Why was the one who had one talent and buried it sent out into utter darkness ultimately? Not because he lacked time, not because he lacked opportunity or know-how, but because he had no faith. Evidenced in his lack of gift expression. The non-use, the ignoring, the burying of our talent, our gift, our time, our resource demonstrates more than anything else that we lack faith or have none. That's what Paul is sharing here. That's what adds definition from here to Matthew 25. A third, by the way, our last, by the way, this particular truth coming out of verse 12, that gifts are an expression of our faith, helps us differentiate between spiritual gifts and natural abilities. Many unbelievers have great abilities in teaching, in administration, in leadership, for example. And these are all God-given, whether they realize it or not. They are God-given. They fall under the common grace of God. But these would not be called spiritual gifts. Or they wouldn't be called spiritual gifts of teaching or administration or leadership. Why? Because they are not expressions of faith. And they are not aiming to strengthen the faith of another and bring glory to God. So therefore, they are not spiritual gifts. Our faith in the promises of God is the channel through which the Spirit flows on His way to strengthen the faith of another. That's how the Spirit works to encourage and strengthen another. Galatians 3:5, you can read this on the screen. Paul writes there, "Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" So the Holy Spirit is given to us, and the Spirit works through us in response to us hearing and responding in faith. Therefore, no matter what abilities we have, if we are not relying on God and not aiming to help others rely on Him, then our ability is not a spiritual gift. It is not spiritual because the Holy Spirit is not flowing through it from faith to faith. By the way, this has tremendous impact and guidance for how we choose leadership, whether it's paid staff or whether it's volunteer leadership here at Westside. When we choose leaders in this ministry, the most important question to ask is not who has the skill to be efficient, who has the education to be efficient, who has the experience to be efficient, who has the training to be efficient. We must always go beyond that and ask, do they use their skill in such a way that you can tell it's an expression of their deep-seated reliance on Jesus? I'm all for seminary. I'm all for your history in other churches. I'm all for your training. I'm all for your experience. I'm all for that. But that's not the most important thing that we need to consider when we raise up leaders here at Westside. We want to see people that love Jesus and love others and want to see people grow in their love for Jesus. A church where the Holy Spirit is alive and powerful will be a church sensitive to the difference between natural abilities and spiritual gifts. So what do we see before we hang around and go to 1 Peter? Lots of stuff. Lots of stuff. Some of your eyes are glazing over. I can see it. Okay. We have been given gifts to strengthen and encourage others. We have been given gifts to express to others and to the world around us our faith in the God who gives them. To not use them stops both. to not use them suggests to others they don't really care. And to stop using them, not using them, burying, demonstrates to the world that they have no faith in the God they profess. That's why the gifts. That's why Paul writes, we need to be informed about the gifts. Because what was going on in the Corinthian church was, again, they were manifesting the gifts, but they weren't serving others. They were serving themselves. And they certainly weren't proclaiming to the world the God that they served. I mean, they were getting drunk. They were getting arrogant. They were putting themselves first. They were putting themselves in camps. I mean, they manifested gifts, but they didn't understand the why. And so Paul here to the Romans says, this is why. This is why. Go to 1 Peter 4, if you don't mind. I want to end by reminding us of some things coming out of this text. And again, like I said, this is going to seem somewhat redundant, but it's redundant for a purpose because I really want us to be just solidified in this. In 1 Peter chapter 4, this is where we get the categories of gifts that I've talked about. Peter writes there, as each has received a gift. So again, good reminder. You each have a gift if you're a spirit person, meaning that you are a follower of Jesus. As each has received a gift, use it. Use it. Okay? Use it. But how? To serve one another. So this is a gift you've been given. Use it, but use it this way. Serve one another. That's exactly what Paul's talked about. No different, just simple, different language. Use it to serve one another as good stewards. Don't bury it. Steward it. It's a resource. Steward it. Steward it as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. So if you have a speaking gift, what you need to understand is that you're not simply to share your opinion, but when you speak into another person's life, understand you're bringing a word of God to them. So you need to consider and measure every word you say. Because our natural inclination as people is to tear down. The supernatural is to edify and build up. So you may not speak, bring a literal text from the Bible, but you need to understand that what you bring them needs to be consistent in what God wants to edify that person with. So speak the words of God. Consider, pray, think through before you open your mouth. I sent an email to the elders this week about some things that we're working through. And I said, guys, I don't want you to show up to this meeting unless you've prayed and fasted. Because I want every word measured as we speak into this situation to make sure that we are speaking God's will into it. And not simply our inclination or fear or pride or what have you. So if you have a speaking gift, a teaching gift, understand that you need to measure because they are to be the very oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. So if you give yourself to service, you understand, must understand, we must understand that we need to do it by God's strength because anything that we do in our power isn't a spiritual gift. We need to do it by the strength that God supplies. In order that, and here's our last why, and we'll close with this. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We went there last week to this particular text. We go here again because it's a good reminder. We are given gifts to serve the body and to glorify Jesus. That's why we're given them. That's why. That's why. That's why. So what is our call? Use them. Use them. As we go into next week, I'll give you a homework assignment. I gave you one last week and I gave you the answer. I'm not going to give you the answer. This is more self-reflective. You can talk about this in your community group this week. If you have a big desire to know what your gift is, what it is, how do I discover it, how do I increase its measure in my life, you need to consider whether this is your motivation. I am convinced that the Spirit of God will show us our gifts if that's our motivation. Thoroughly convinced. But if the motivation is more selfish, not selfless, I think we'll have a tough time discovering them. So ponder that, meditate on it, think through it this week, chew on it with your community group, walk through these texts. And if you come with that in mind, you maybe reveal some things next week by the Spirit of God, who doesn't want us to be uninformed about this. So that's where we're going next week. So now, as we go into a time of response to what God is sharing with us through His Word, again, like last week, I think it's an easy transition time. Because we come into a time of response worshiping the Father of Lights, who is the giver of all gifts, with the greatest of all gifts being Jesus, who gives us salvation, but doesn't just stop there. That's just the starting point. He gives us grace upon grace, and one of the things He continues to gift us with, or grace us with, is gifts to strengthen others and to bring Him glory. It's this whole big, circular, wondrous thing. So would you rise as we go into this time of response and worship God and respond to